I have not spoken with Lauren Brownlow on the radio. Gosh, I don't even know how long. So I'm glad that you're available to talk to again. How you feeling? Good?
Yeah, same. I would just say better.
All right, then.
I'm not amazing. I'm
yes, you are.
I still get tired.
You are amazing. All right. So are
well,
you.
I mean, feeling amazing, to be fair.
All right. What else is amazing? Your Panthers are amazing.
They're always in a good way.
They're 4-4 under Steve Wilks. How do you feel about them, especially going into a stretch where, I mean, two wins and it sets up a game at Tampa, which should be fun in the Brownlow residence, sets up a game at Tampa for the division?
I mean, look, David Tepper said that Steve Wilks would have to do an incredible job to, I believe, even be considered for the job, right?
Right.
Let's just toss all that incredible job nonsense to the side. The more Steve Wilks wins, the more it becomes awkward for David Tepper, which I enjoy personally.
yes.
And so honestly, I realize they're costing themselves in draft picks. I don't even care at this point because I'm so annoyed with David Tepper. That watching him squirm is going to be hilarious for me personally when people ask him why an African-American coach on your sideline that you're putting on the sideline as an interim who's had more success than the other guy you hired at any point and is well-respected and liked not only by his team but by the NFL as a whole, has been for a long time, managed to get this group to buy in and believe, you're going to have to explain to a whole lot of people why you're not giving him the job, why you think your judgment is somehow better. it's going to be really funny for me either way. I mean, I think it stinks for Steve Wilks because I think he's probably being put in a position where, he can't succeed. I hope that's not the case though. The more Steve Wilks wins, the more success they have. Like imagine if they sneak into the playoffs, he can't fire him then. He literally cannot that point. If they don't get there, I still don't think he should, but.
I personally, Lauren Brownlow is with us. I personally think Steve Wilks has already won. I don't think they have to make the playoffs. Yeah. Here's one of the things that bothered me about Matt Rhule. And this was we always found this out either in the post-game press conference or the next day, a Monday or a Tuesday when Matt Rhule would meet the media. And he would complain about, well, we can't be a team that throws the ball 38 times a game. And I'm like, then why did you? Steve Wilks has developed an identity with this team that they will not deviate from unless the score forces them to deviate from it. And they've been pretty fortunate in terms. There have been games where they're not good. There are games where they're going to get their rear ends beat. You know, the Rams did that to them in, I guess it was the second game. And that game was the game where he sent Robbie Anderson back to his room. And Robbie with a Y, not Robbie with an IE. And I was at that point, I was team Steve Wilks. They play for him. And I think he exudes confidence. I think he'd be a great head coach for them going forward. And I don't even care what they might not win another game. I still think that Steve Wilks should be the head coach.
And I think let's say it doesn't work out, right? Let's say it turns out he was not a good solution and they don't have long-term success. Okay, fine. But what's going to be funny for me as well is watching Tepper try to get out of not having patience with Steve Wilks when he gave Matt Rhule, way too much rope, to be frank,
right,
at a certain point. Like, he gave him too much leeway. And I think this is a thing that David Tepper will not understand because he's not – look, for all the bad stuff about Jerry Richardson, he did understand this, that Charlotte is a place that likes to feel a connection with the people on the team. They love, they love when you draft guys that are from here. They love when you have guys on the team that take pride in the local community and want to give back to it. It's part of the reason they love Cam Newton so much. You know, he gave back a ton, but they love people that want to be there, that care about the franchise, care about the team, care about the area, right? So Matt Rhule didn't care about any of that, which is fine. He doesn't have to, but that's not necessarily the type of coach you want. You know, I certainly would not trust David Tepper to go out on his own and try to find anyone. I really wouldn't. I would rather him not, but it will just be really, like, again, it's making it impossible for him to kind of explain away any other decision at this point. I agree with you. I think he's earned it by now. These guys are playing, like, way, you could just see it in the way they're playing, too. Like, they care about him. You know, I know players said that they really liked Matt Rhule a lot, et cetera, et cetera.
I think they did.
What else are they going to say? What else are they? And maybe they did, but it's not the same connection they have with Steve Wilkes. It's just not. And you can see that in the way that they play, I think.
Well, you, players want to, they want to know that the head coach that is leading them can help them win or help them succeed even individually so they can get to the next contract. I mean, this is a business for them. This is not fun and games. They're, I mean, the time that you have to earn money in the NFL, and you have to understand that the giant majority of the players in the league are probably they're just trying to earn as much money as they can in like 4 or 5 years. So basically set them up for whatever life has for them next. Not that many of them make generational money. There's only quarterbacks that they're talking about a $30 million plus contract yearly for Daniel freaking Jones, who is maybe a bottom third of the NFL starting quarterback. But that's what they're talking about. Meanwhile, there are a lot better players at different positions that are just trying to get to the next year. And they want to know that the head coach can help them win, help them get better, help them get to the next contract. And I don't think Matt Rhule inspired that. I think Matt Rhule was a really good dude, and they liked him, but I don't think they had confidence that he could be a successful head coach, because I think he proved that he could be.
They maybe liked him some. I'm not saying that they didn't like him at all as a person, but I do think, and this is where Matt Rhule is more successful at the collegiate level than at the pro level, that they're old and they're grown-ups, and they see through the BS business talk,
right?
The motivational speaker talk, like OOU and that kind of, I mean, I know all coaches do it to a degree, right? Like even NFL coaches do it, but it's like, again, it's like you said, they can tell what's working and what's not. And if they don't have confidence that their coach is going to help them win football games and help them get more money, like you said, then I don't know how, what are they going to do with their own bodies? Are they going to put their bodies on the line for a guy like that? You know what I mean? Like probably not. I wouldn't either. You know? So I think, yeah, I think that it's one of those things where, like, a lot of them have known Steve Wilkes probably for some years, although a lot of the defense is completely new. But still, you know, he has worked with the team before. People know who he is. People know he cares about this team, you know? And I think it just makes the most sense. They look like a different football team since Matt Rhule left.
Just so everybody knows, they're 4-4. With Steve Wilkes as the head coach, and their quarterbacks are still Sam Darnold, PJ Walker, Baker Mayfield.
What's the number? 11 wins? That's how many Matt Rhule had in two and a quarter years?
5-5-1. Not good. In 17 game seasons. All right, let me ask you about some ACC football matters. Let me ask you one thing about Clemson. How are they favored over Tennessee?
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
I'm at a loss for that.
Well, I think my guess is that it's all about the obsession with Cade Klubnik.
Okay.
that would be part of my guess. Tennessee's defense is terrible.
Very, very bad, yeah.
But honestly, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, most of Clemson's offense, no matter who's been in the game against teams that aren't North Carolina, has been pretty terrible too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, like, the DJ Uiagalelei thing, I don't put all the blame on DJ. I do not think they called games to put him in a position to succeed. It felt like every other play they were calling was like, why does this play have to be this difficult? You have to pick up 4 yards. Like, why? Like, why are you having him throw like across his body, like a 20 yards down the field? It just didn't make sense. Everything felt more difficult than it needed to be, especially with their wide receiver not being as good.
Yes.
That also played a role. Like, it just, look, I know Cade Klubnik looked great, and maybe he is great. I'm not arguing that necessarily, but I do think that some of that is probably the hype machine of everyone assuming that all Dabo had to do this whole time was just give it to the guy who, at first when he put him in, by the way, he would hand it off to their best player, which they never let DJ do, to Will Shipley. I'm like, hello? In the South Carolina game, I'm like screaming at my television. I'm like, Will Shipley, hi. Is he still there? Did he leave? Did he have to go to the bathroom? Like, what's going on here?
So here's, you mentioned it, and I think it's been glaring for now at least 2 years. There's no Hopkins, Higgins, nope. Williams, Renfrow. There's no wide receivers that make you go, all right, we got to put two on that guy because he's going to kill us. They don't have that, and they haven't had it since Trevor Lawrence left. And I would argue even the last year they didn't have it. Trevor Lawrence's last year they didn't even have dynamic wide receivers. So it's not just DJ. And by the way, who's left on defense, right? They've had a couple of guys already, two starters on defense, opt out because they're going to the NFL draft. I mean, I know Tennessee doesn't have their quarterback. Hendon Hooker's out because he's hurt. But
well, that's probably a part of it, yeah.
If I'm Tennessee, I'm going to put my offensive line out there, and I'm just going to roll them. I am just going to run straight ahead on Clemson. I don't understand why Clemson is almost a touchdown favorite. I don't know.
Like I said, it's Cade Klubnik. Look no further, because people just were like, oh, that'll fix everything. And I'm like, okay, against North Carolina perhaps, but let's see, against, you know, someone else. No offense to North Carolina, but they were not a good defense at the beginning of the year. They had some moments later in the season where they were better, but then like half the defense got hurt, and it was not a good defense to begin with. So just say, yes. Like, teams with functional passing offenses were going to find success against the Tar Heels.
Lauren Brownlow, it's been awesome. We'll do it again.
Okay, good.
Next time we'll talk hoops. And by the way, are you going to watch Virginia Houston?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I hope I can. I mean, I don't know what else I'd be doing.
Right. I can't watch that game. There's two teams. Those are two teams that actively tried to not score. I can't.
Oh my God.
I can't watch that. I'm sorry.
Virginia is number 7 in KenPom's offense. They are a much better offensive team this year, I'm just saying.
Okay, all right. Historically, they try not to score. And Houston, I know, tries not to score. It's
yeah, I mean, I'll give you Houston.
Closest to zero wins.
Like, we will use all our energy on the defensive end of the court and getting offensive rebounds bunch in Houston. Yes, I agree with you on that.
I think Virginia hosts the game. I hope Virginia wins. I'll look at the box score the next day. Lauren, you're the best. I appreciate it. Take care. Best.
Thanks.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.